on December the 4th, 1941, in a charity ward in a hospital in Bellefonte, Pennsylvania, a young teenage girl gave birth to a little baby boy. 3 days later, December the 7th, 1941, the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. That teenage girl was my mother. She had been deserted by her husband, my dad. She was all alone, didn't know what to do, and she said, "I hated everything about my life." There in the hospital, so afraid because I didn't know what I was going to do. And I heard on the radio the declaration of war by our president. And she said, all of my hate seemed to just channel into a hatred for the Japanese people. And then she said, if I had known that that little baby that I was holding in my arms was going to grow up and try to do something good for the Japanese people, I would have smothered you with my pillow. Now, I hope she wouldn't have, but I'm kind of glad she didn't know. I do believe God had a plan. The longer I serve Him, the more I believe with all of my heart that God has a plan for every one of you. I told them at the church during the missions conference at Emmanuel that I don't have a middle name because when the doctor said in order to get a birth certificate and check out of the hospital, they had to give me a name, my mother said, "I don't care what you name him. I don't know what I'm going to do with this baby anyway." So the doctor gave me my name, and he didn't give me a middle name. I'm kind of glad he didn't, because I've given myself one. Turn with me very quickly to the book of Acts, chapter 22. Verse 12 says, "And one Ananias, a devout man according to the law, having a good report of all the Jews which dwelt there, came unto me and stood and said unto me, Brother Saul, receive thy sight, and the same hour I looked upon him. And he said, the God of our fathers has chosen thee." That's why I've given myself the name of Ananias. And as I begin this chapel message this morning, I say to every one of you here, the God of our fathers has chosen you. He's chosen you just as Ananias said. He said, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee that thou shouldst know his will." Isn't it absolutely astonishing that God has a will for your life? God knows exactly why he created you. God knows exactly why he recreated you. And you're a new creature, and old things are passed away. And all things are of God. God has a will, a plan for your life. Number two, he says, "The God of our fathers has chosen thee to see that just one." There's only one who is just. Jesus Christ, the only one who is righteous. Remember what he said to the rich man when he said, "We know that you're come from the Father and you're good." And he said, "There's none good but God." And of course, he was God. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee that you would know his will. You know, and God is not in the business of hiding his will from you. through all these years, and I appreciate the emphasis on how many years it has been. I hope I can get through this message. I graduated from Bible College in May of 1963. I was married in August of 1963 and accepted as a missionary to Japan by BIMI in November of 1963. You can do the math if you want to, but it has been over 60 years. I'm getting ahead of myself, but one thing I'm always so desirous to do when I speak to young people who I trust are at least thinking very seriously about giving everything they have to Jesus Christ. I can't think about it. There will come a day in your life when you will be able to look back. And I hope when you do, you can say, as I can say, I'm glad that's what I did with my life. I'd do it again if I could, but I can't. And that's why I need you. The God of our fathers has chosen you to know His will, to see that just one, to see His worthiness. He is worthy of everything you have. That's why Paul could say, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto Him, which is your reasonable service. He's worthy of everything that you have or ever hope to be. And then he says, the God of our fathers has chosen you that you should hear the voice of His mouth. I personally believe that's the daily leadership of God in your life as day by day He leads you in the path that He would have you to go. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. And incidentally, I don't think that's talking about heaven. Not yet. Psalm 16:11, Thou wilt show me the path of life. He has a plan for your life. He has a path. He has a course that He wants you to run. Thou wilt show me the path of life in Thy presence, and that's daily. He's promised, I will never leave you nor forsake you. I am with you always, even to the end of the world. I will never, never leave you nor forsake you. I like Moses when he was getting ready to lead the children of Israel, and he was praying to God very boldly, and he said, Lord, you've told me that I'm to lead these people. They're not my people, they're your people. And you've not told me yet who's going to go with me. And the Lord said to him, My presence will go with you. You know, that's what the Lord says to every missionary. You'll never go anywhere alone. I like the young lady's testimony. He will protect you. The safest place on the face of this earth is in the center of the will of God. There's no place safer than being in the center of the will of God. And then verse 15. For thou shalt be His witnesses unto all men of what you've seen and heard. He wants you to know His will. He wants you to see His worthiness. He wants you as a young man, a young woman, or if you're not so young, He still wants you to know His will. If you are still here, I believe with all of my heart and soul, that God has a plan for the rest of your life. And Romans 12:1 is just as true for the 80-year-old as it was for the 18-year-old. He still expects you to give your body as a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto him. And it is a reasonable service. And every one of us is to be his witness. Now, very quickly, I want you to turn with me. And I do have prayer cards somewhere here at the front if you want to get one to pray for me. I do need your prayers. I want you to turn to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. My wife and I left for Japan at the end of 1964. Most of you all weren't even thought about at that time. We arrived on January the 5th, 1965. On our first prayer card, and it's not this one, we had the verse, 1 Chronicles 28, 20. And David said unto Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage. And I needed that at that time. I was just 21 years of age when I left for the mission field. That's far too young, unless God is in it. David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. You know, God has a plan for your life. When people ask me, how can I know the will of God? I said, simple. I used to try to figure out some kind of a philosophical answer where I could go through steps of knowing the will of God. But there's no such. The way you know the will of God is to do it. It's very simple. If you are not doing right now what God wants you to do, what makes you think he's obligated to tell you what he wants to do with the rest of your life? David said to Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Be careful. Don't spend all of your life talking about what you're going to do. After I. No, you better do it now. The Lord may come today. If you're not a soul winner, now, getting on an airplane and crossing an ocean won't turn you into a soul winner. Place does not make you a missionary. You see, God has a plan for your life, and it's already started. And if you will do what God wants you to do daily, then he will show you when you need it, what you need to plan for the distant future. Be of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, and I love this, the Lord God, even my God. Here's David. He's an old man. And I don't like to talk about old men. I don't ever plan on being one. My mother-in-law gave me some good advice that I'm trying to follow. She said, it's great to get older, but don't ever get old. I think there are some folks sitting here in this auditorium here this morning that I could say the same thing. Don't get old. You want to get older because there's only one alternative. But don't ever allow yourself to feel old, to act old, and to use old age as an excuse to not do what God wants you to do right now. That's so important. The Lord God, even my God, the same God that's taken care of me. Now, David didn't always do what he was supposed to do. But David was a man after God's own heart, and in his heart, he always desperately wanted to do what God wanted him to do. And Aren't you glad that God doesn't look on the outward appearance? He looks on the heart. And when we think about the fact that God looks on the heart, we should not say, oh no. We should say, thank God. On the mission field, when you work your heart out, you give out 50,000 plus brochures advertising for a new meeting and to try to get the Japanese people to come, and nobody shows up. And you go home that night and weep all night long. God knows what you wanted to do for Him. And I personally believe that He will reward us according to our heart. Make sure your heart is right with God. And He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. That's an amazing promise. An amazing promise. He will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. That's why my life verse I've borrowed from Paul, and I don't think he minds. He'd be glad to let you borrow it too. But none of these things move me. Young people, be careful of things. Things so quickly move you from doing what God would have you to do. You have so much potential for a future. And men like me and some of your professors and some of the other missionaries that are out on the mission field are counting on you to continue the ministry when we can't anymore. Paul said, I don't count my life dear to myself. None of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself. Now, Paul didn't say he didn't count his life dear. Be careful. Your life is the dearest possession you have. Don't waste it. Paul said, I don't count my life dear to myself. What do you mean, Paul? Well, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave Himself for me. For me, to live is Christ, and to die is gain. I don't count my life dear to myself. If you count your life dear to you, it's my life, I'll live it the way I want to. If you get that attitude any time in your life, you're going to mess up the life that God has planned for you. Be careful. Be careful. Neither count I my life dear to myself, that I might finish my course with joy. God has a plan for my life. God knew what He wanted me to do from the time I was born in that hospital in Pennsylvania, and 3 days later the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. God already knew He wanted me to go and spend a lifetime as a missionary in the nation of Japan. Looking back, I can see how obvious that was. Looking forward, there were times when I really didn't know what was going to happen in the future, but God was always there. He kept this promise that He would never leave me nor forsake me. That's why I have this desperation to finish my course. And I like that little word, with joy. I don't want to become a grumpy old man. I know a lot of grumpy old men. But let's finish with joy the course that He has for us. But then that verse doesn't stop there. That I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I've received of the Lord Jesus. Did you notice? He talks about my life, my course, but he doesn't say my ministry. The ministry is bigger than any of us. All these introductions you get, you think, who in the world is he talking about? A concert pianist? Goodness sakes, I wish. I'm thankful that God can enable us to do what he has called us to do. God is not limited by your limitations. If you will give all you have to him, he will make it into exactly what it needs to be to do what he wants you to do. And you can believe that with all of your heart. The ministry that I've received of the Lord Jesus, oh, what a ministry. The gospel, to testify of the gospel of the grace of God. Over and over and over, young people, I have seen the gospel work. In places where you'd think, there's no way these people will understand what I'm trying to say. But when the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, comes in and begins to speak to hearts, you can see the light come into some of the faces. And when you find out that the gospel is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth. Don't let anybody else ever tell you any different. Whosoever will may come, and whosoever still means whosoever. Don't ever allow the explanations of a theologian to cause you to doubt the direct statements of the Word of God. God doesn't need theological geniuses to tell us what he was trying to say when he wrote the Bible. When a man can write a whole book on one phrase and re-explain what God was saying when God said it so plainly, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why every one of us, if my name were Ananias, I could tell each one of you, God wants you to go somewhere. He wants you to look to him. He wants you to see how worthy he is. He wants you to know his will. He wants you to walk in his path. And he wants to use you for his glory to get the gospel somewhere on the face of this earth. Back to 1 Chronicles. David said unto Solomon, his son, be strong and of good courage, and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. See how David's getting personal? Here's an old man getting ready to die. And God has already told him, he wanted so desperately to build that temple for the glory of the God that he loved. And God said no. Incidentally, young people, God has every right to say no. And we just say, yes, Lord. I learned that when the Lord's will was to take my wife to be with him in heaven. I didn't understand it. That's why I learned what Proverbs 3:5, though I'd quoted it over and over and over since I was a little kid, I've learned what it really meant. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not to your own understanding. Don't try to understand. God is a trustworthy God, and you don't have to understand what he's doing in order to trust him. Just trust him. He's trustworthy. Don't try to understand why God wants certain things in your life. Just trust him. Just trust him. Here's David, the old king. And God said, no. I like, if you read later, read these 28, 29, these chapters. Because when God said no to David, David didn't argue with him. He said, well, look what he's already done for me. When I was just a little old shepherd boy, he made me king. Should I complain now that I can't do this thing that I want to do for him, even if it's for his glory? And then God made Solomon his son. And here, I don't have time to read all the passage, but David said as he's reiterating this story, I had many sons, and I loved all of my sons. But God chose Solomon. Why was that such a blessing? Because of who Solomon's mother was. Solomon's mother was Bathsheba. David's awful sin. I think in a sense David was able to see that even though he could not build the temple, that God chose Solomon to show David that he was totally forgiven for his own past sin. And now he, as an old man, and I don't like to admit being in it, but as an older man, I like to be able to talk to young people and encourage them. Don't limit what God can do with your life. Don't think, well, I couldn't possibly do. There's nothing you cannot do. Yes. You must always remember, as we seasoned missionaries, that's a good word, isn't it? Seasoned missionaries have to remember so often, our own ability won't work. Remember when Jesus was walking with the 12? Just shortly before Calvary, he looked at them and he said, remember, without me, you can do nothing. So, start out realizing that there is absolutely no way. God has called you to do a work you cannot do. He will do it in, through, and with you. And many times, in my case, in spite of you. And then one day when you stand before him and look in his face, he'll reward you as if you'd done it yourself. That's the grace of God. Without me, you can do nothing. But I like it when Paul steps up and says, but wait a minute. I was the persecutor. I was anti-God. I was anti-Christ. I was anti-everything that Christianity stood for. But on the Damascus road, I saw a light. And I heard a voice, and I ask a question that I trust every one of you has an absolutely positive answer for. Who art thou? I like it because in English we can say, he said, he answered his own question before he finished it. Who art thou, Lord? And immediately he said, Lord, what would you have me to do? And then he could tell us in Philippians chapter 4, even me, I, without him I can do nothing, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. You see, God has a plan for your life. Now, let's back up, and I'll close with this verse. I still have a few minutes. Praise the Lord. Verse 9, David is talking to Solomon. He's an old man. And I think, as any of us older people can do, we sometimes can see the weaknesses in the young people around us. But we need to be careful, because we need to understand that just as it was not our own ability or strength that caused God to be able to use us through a lifetime of ministry and service, God can use them in the same way. David said to Solomon, my son, And he gave him some advice. What David was saying to Solomon here in these two chapters is, son, God has chosen you. The God of our fathers hath chosen thee. Verse 10. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong and do it. If I could speak to each one of you individually, I would say, take heed now. Be careful. For the Lord has chosen you. And then he will fill in the blanks as it's necessary. Do it. Be able to look back on a lifetime of serving him who is worthy of all service and all praise. Be able to look back and say, I'm glad I dedicated my life for that purpose. I'm glad that's what I gave my life for. I am. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house for the sanctuary. Be strong, even when you feel weak, and do it. How do you know the will of God? You do what he is leading you to do day by day and moment by moment. Verse 24. And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father. Normally in the Old Testament we hear the phrase, the God of thy fathers, talking about Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, but not here. David is personal. And that's what I'm trying to be this morning in this chapel here at Ambassador Baptist College. My God is your God. Know thou the God of thy father. That same God that called him as a shepherd and placed him as a king. That same God that was with him when he was getting ready to take that sling and sling those stones into that giant. That God, my God, he will be with you. Thy God, know him. First of all, know God personally. Know God personally. Know him and know his will. The second thing he said, Solomon, my son, serve him with a perfect heart and a willing mind. Your actions will not always measure up, but your heart can. Serve him with a perfect heart. And with a willing head, with a willing mind. Serve him willingly. I cannot understand how people can talk about what they've given up to serve God. Serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind. Can't help but think of old Peter. After the resurrection, and they were gathered on the Sea of Galilee, and the Lord looked at Peter and said, Simon, do you really love me more than these? And what did Simon say? He said, Lord, you know that I love you. Everybody else doesn't, because I didn't act like it. But you know me more than my actions. You don't know me just by my deeds. You know who I am, and you know that I love you. And the Lord said, okay, feed my sheep. And three times he asked the same question. Because he knew. That's why when he told the women, you tell my disciples, and Peter, I want to meet them in Galilee. Because Peter thought he wasn't a disciple anymore. But the Lord wanted to make sure that he knew that he was. Make sure. And over and over, I've had times in my life where I've sensed that the Lord was saying, and Ron, just make sure he knows that he's included in this plan and tell him I want him. I want him to come. The desperation of my heart is you not miss the will of God for your life. Serve him with a perfect heart. Serve God personally. Know him. Serve God purposefully. Serve him with a willing heart, a perfect heart and a willing mind. And then the third thing is to seek God passionately. If you seek him, he will be found of thee. If you seek him, he will be found of you. I like the way they express it in Japanese when they talk about seeking. It's the word motomeru. If you desire him, if you long for him, if you have this deep desire. That's why I like, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It doesn't just use the simple word call. It uses the word yobi motomeru. Shuno mina o yobi motomeru monoa dare demo sukuareru. It means to call with a deep longing in your heart. And that's a genuine call of salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Then finally, verse 10 again. Take heed now, for the Lord hath chosen thee to build an house. What has God chosen you to do? You may not know it all yet, but he does have a detailed plan for your life. And he will take care of you. Seek God passionately. Find him, follow him, and don't forsake him. And then live for God persistently. Just do what God wants you to do day by day. You're in Bible college now. Do what God brought you here to do. Don't complain. Don't procrastinate. Be faithful. Don't waver. Don't weaken and don't wait. Just do what God wants you to do now as you serve him faithfully here in your younger years. And then God can give you a glorious life of serving him all the days of your life. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. I love that psalm because it kind of lays out our whole life for us. All surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And there's not a period there. Right now, we're talking about all the days of your life. I don't count my life dear to myself because I so desperately want to finish what he wants me to do. I want to finish my course with joy. But then I don't want it to stop there. I've said it so often, but more and more I have this passion. I don't want my funeral to be the last time that I can glorify God. I talked about Peter, and I must move quickly. But Peter was told by the Lord, I'm going to tell you by what death you glorify me. You see, you can leave this life and glorify God in the way you do it. But you'll have to do what Peter did. Because Peter looked at him and said, follow me. You see, if you're going to leave this life for the glory of God, you're going to have to live this life for the glory of God. And then it doesn't stop there. If I had time, I'd turn to 2 Peter. You read it later, where Peter said, as long as I am in this tabernacle, I'll stir you up. I'm not going to get too old to keep challenging you younger people to do what God has called you to do. And then he goes on to say, and after my decease, I'm not even going to quit then. Because every time you remember me, you will want to serve him in a better way. It's so important. The path that I have trod has brought me nearer God, though oft it led through sorrow's gates. Though not the way I'd choose, in my way, I might lose the joy that yet for me awaits. Submission to the will of him who guides me still is surety of his love revealed. My soul shall rise above this world in which I move. I conquer only where I yield. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go, for who am I that I should choose my way? I shudder to think about what would have happened with my life had I made my own choices. Not what I wish to be, nor where I wish to go, for who am I that I should choose my way? The Lord shall choose for me. 'Tis better far, I know. So let him bid me go or stay. Ever since those words of that song were sung on our wedding day, my wife and I lived our lives seeking to follow what we'd committed in promise with that song the day we got married in 1963. He's never failed us. He's never forsaken us. And God has a marvelous, wonderful, tremendous, awesome plan for your life. It's not the same as anyone else's. The first step is to consecrate your life to Jesus Christ. The second step is to set out to do his will and finish the course, to complete the course that he has for you. And then I trust that there will come a day in your lives when you will stand before other young people and say, I'm counting on you to continue this ministry. I'm ready to be offered. The time of my departure is at hand. There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, and I don't think Paul was thinking about crowns. He was thinking about that face he was going to be looking in. See that just one, Ananias told him. And I think he was thinking, very soon I'm really going to see him. I'm going to see him with these eyes. I remember when I met him on the Damascus Road, and I'm looking for that. I'm ready to receive a crown of righteousness. I have kept the faith. I fought a good fight, and I have finished my course. But then he's writing to Timothy, and I think he's saying the same thing my wife said to me when she was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer. The doctors gave her less than 6 months to live. The Lord gave her almost 7 years. The doctors were astonished. They couldn't understand why she kept on living and kept on serving and living for it. But she told me one. She said, when I came back after being out and she was alone, I came back and she said, you can stop worrying about me. I'm not going to die. Not yet. I said, what do you mean? She said, well, do you remember our first prayer card? The Lord thy God will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Until when? Until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. She said, God told me this morning I wasn't finished yet. And when I am, I'll tell you. 3 days before she went to heaven in the hospital, she called me over to the bed and she said, now you know that it's his will that I go be with him now, don't you? That I have finished everything he wants me to do. You know that, don't you? But if you want me to, I'll stay. Oh, I wanted her to. But I remembered when she was a teenager and she gave her life to Jesus Christ. And I had never known a time when she wasn't seeking to do the will of God in her life. And when she was telling me it was his will, but if I wanted to, I could ask her to stay. I couldn't, at that time in her life, ask that of her. I just said, honey, are you sure? And she said, oh, yes. I said, well, it's okay. She said, praise the Lord. Let me give you the verse that God gave me this morning. They're in John 17. Father, I will that those whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. And she said, that was my verse today. There will come a time when I trust I'll be able to say I have finished my course. But I hope there will be myriads of young people that I've been able to influence that can hear what I heard my wife say to me. She said, I have finished everything God wanted me to do. But you haven't. But you haven't. There will come a day when many who have been mentors and teachers and preachers and pastors in your lives will finish their course. But if their ministry is going to continue and they're going to keep glorifying God even after they can't serve any longer, it's going to be up to you. I've consecrated my life to Christ. I so desperately want to complete my course for Jesus Christ. And then I'm counting on young men and young women like you to continue the ministry until the Lord comes. God bless you. Let's stand together and we'll close the service.